Greatest story, that's right. Appreciate the message in song. I appreciate Brother Bird and all the special ones, the choir, gearing everything toward the message of missions. And it's been a blessing. We started the program Wednesday night and Thursday night. And this morning we have Brother Glenn Moorman with us. Brother Glenn been with Helps Ministries now a long time here. And of course, Brother Scotty Drake got it going years ago. And Brother Scotty is a part of our church here, but they're all around. And you remember Brother Glenn being with us before. Normally they transport a lot of missionaries from the field, but due to the shutdowns over the COVID, it's kind of messed up some of the missionaries being able to come and be in our mission conference this year. But we're glad Brother Glenn could be with us, and he's got a heart for missions. He's dedicated his life to it. He might not be as old as me, but he's old enough he could be retired if he wanted to, but he's serving God right on. And Brother Glenn, we want you to come preach to us about it this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. It is a joy to be in this old-fashioned church where Jesus Christ is so honored, and you're excited about missions and what God is going to do in our world as you support missionaries that desperately need a helping hand from some of the American churches. And I am 76. I turned my church over to my oldest son in Maryland after I had pastored it for 40 years, and came back home to God's waiting room. And I had gotten saved in Brandon, Florida, suburb Brandon, Riverview, when I was 21, turned 22, 2 weeks after I got saved. And I have been on a wonderful journey with Jesus Christ. I have three sons. Two of them are pastoring and preaching this morning, and it's my thrill to be here. It's a real delight to see so many people in church. We have not been so blessed in a lot of places. A lot of people are not back like you folks are, and I tip my hat to you. God bless you. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 18, we'll read a few verses. And I'm going to speak to you this morning. What a privilege to be in this pulpit, and I certainly don't take it lightly and appreciate the pastor being so kind to allow me. I was Christmas shopping a little bit with my wife yesterday. We have three sons, and out of those three sons, we have 13 grandchildren. Our oldest son has 8 kids. And so we have 13 grandkids, and we now have 5 great-grandchildren, so our Christmas list is lengthy, and so we were doing a little bit yesterday, and I was walking around Bell's Outlet in Riverview, and I saw a $5 bill on the floor. So being a good Baptist, I reached down and picked it up. And went over and found my wife and said, "Hey, look what I found." And she said, "Oh, wow, that's great." I said, "Are you through shopping?" She said, "No." I said, "Good, I'm going to go around and walk around a little bit more in the store and see what I can find." If you'll look with me, please, in Matthew 18, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.'" It's tough when you come to a great church like this to know how to preach when you've heard such great preaching from your pastor and other people that have been in this pulpit. And I just want to emphasize something that you're so often hearing is, keep it simple, stupid. The gospel is not complicated. Jesus said, "Look, it isn't that hard. Have the faith of a child if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven." So keep it simple, stupid. Don't make it complicated. Too many people, not this church, but a lot of churches have become slick, commercialized, sophisticated. Churches are learning how to package their programs. Nothing wrong with programs. We need them for the entirety of a family that we minister to. But programs don't take the place of the power of God. We don't need to know how to package Jesus Christ. We just need the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver His message that He came to save. And so the church desperately needs a revival of simplicity. Why are we here? What is the purpose? What is the function? Why did God save you and me? Now, Jesus told stories to communicate, stories that boys and girls could understand. When I was in Tennessee Temple under Dr. Lee Robertson, he would say to us preacher boys, keep your message so that a fifth grader can understand what you're preaching. Do not preach above a fifth grader. Our Lord was in the redemption business, period. Yes, He was a great example. Yes, He fed the multitudes. Yes, He healed the sick. Yes, He raised the dead. But He came to seek and to save those that were lost. You students here in this Bible college, and all of us who know and love Jesus Christ, what are we trying to do with His message? What are you going to do? What are you going to give so that somebody can hear about Jesus Christ and be saved? 6 years ago, my mother and one of my four younger sisters died within a month of one another. Now, we're from Indiana, and so they wanted to have a memorial service for my family back home. So many of us from Florida and other places came back home to a memorial service in Montpelier, Indiana. Growing up there as a young boy, our neighbors, closest neighbors and good friends of mine, happened to be a set of twins, Ronnie and Donnie Hauser. At age 50, Ronnie died with cancer, and I never got to see him after I was a young man and moved to Florida. I never got to witness to him and tell him about Jesus Christ. And as far as I know, he died without Christ. The other twin, Donnie, came to the memorial service. He'd read about it in the paper, and he came to pay his respects to the family. And I had not seen Donnie for some 40 years. After the service was over and he was going to leave, my brother and I walked him out to his truck, and we took the next 15 minutes to preach Jesus Christ to Donnie, because I figured I'd never probably see him again. We told him how God had marvelously changed our lives, how Christ had come in and changed the home and the lives of Russell Mormon and Glenn Mormon. Well, he had the similar excuses that you've heard. He says, I like my beer yet. My brother, being an alcoholic, explained to him, look, if you trust Christ as your Savior, God will take care of that problem you have. He said, well, the woman I have, I'm not married to her. So we explained, look, it's pretty simple. We're all sinners, every one of us. God loves every one of us. And we said to Donnie, but don't you be so foolish to think that God won't let you go to hell if you never get ready to get saved. Pretty soon he was in his truck and drove off. 5 years later, just a few months ago, I got a call from my Aunt Linda in Montpelier, Indiana. She said, Donnie has come by the house, wanted your phone number and your brother's phone number. He has gotten saved and wanted to let you guys know that he got saved, and he wanted to thank you for making the gospel understandable to him. Some very creative person imagined that Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, whom do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the crystallized conception of the deification of God's incarnate and supernatural altruism revealed in myriad manner through manifest coalition of soteriological portrayal." And Jesus said, "What?" Jesus just simply said, "We know that thou art the Son of the living God." Now, Jesus knew how to communicate. He knew how to keep it simple. Does anyone's heart ever burn after we have spoken to them? Has anyone ever come to church and wept their way to Christ because we were their neighbor? We were their co-worker? Now, every follower of football my age remembers Vince Lombardi, the great coach of the Green Bay Packers and also the Washington Redskins. Now, he never let his players forget what they were doing. They were not modeling helmets and uniforms. They were there to score more points than the other team. They said when they teammates left the locker room in Green Bay, there was a sign they saw, K-I-S-S. It was not a term of endearment. They weren't advertising some rock group. It just simply said, "Keep it simple, stupid. Make your blocks, catch the ball, get across the line." Our task as Christians is pretty simple. Win the lost, see them baptized, see them growing in a God-honoring and Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, support missionaries around the world, and live for Jesus Christ where He plants you. Our Lord's instructions are crystal clear. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee." So my first question is, what are we trying to do? As Christians, individually, collectively, what are you and I doing with our life? What do we hope to accomplish when we meet the Lord? Christ said, "If you love me, do what I command you." He said, "My purpose or my responsibility is to do the will of Him that sent me. I'm here to finish His work." And then a little later He said, "Now, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." In a best-selling book called Megatrends, John Nesbitt, the author, comments that the railroads were the most prestigious corporations at one time in the world. In fact, the Pennsylvania Railroad was chosen to be the best-run corporation in the world. Look at the railroads today. It's not so. Many of them are in disrepair. What happened? Well, the author says that those in charge of the railroads did not understand the law of the situation they were dealing with. They thought they were in the business of running railroads. That wasn't their business. Their business was transportation. Now, if they knew that, they would have probably had airplanes, trucks, you name it, ships. All they had were decaying, outdated railroads. You're going to go across the country? You're going to take a railroad? I'm not. Now, our job is to save the world. Don't make it complicated. When you young people graduate from the school and God gives you a place to go and serve, keep it simple. When you knock on a door, you're there to tell them about Jesus Christ. Now, the second question is, how are we going to do it? Jesus said, Love me with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength. And that's the way you approach the work of God. Hey, sometimes it's inconvenient to serve the Lord. It's expensive to serve the Lord. It's difficult. Ask the missionaries. In hauling around the help missionaries that the pastor alluded to that could not come this year because of COVID, I always ask them, we usually have 8 of them here for the fall mission conferences. I ask them all the time when they come, how many of you have air conditioning in your churches? No hands go up. How many of you have air conditioning in your house? No hands go up. Some of them don't have lights. They're getting some solar panels and they're putting those in for their homes and their churches. It's tough, but they're doing what God called them to do. We're not in the country club business. I'm in the redemption business. Now, the redemption means business, the business of going into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in. That means we don't quit visitation. We go on visitation. We give to our mission offering. We trust God for our faith promises. How long has it been since we have really touched somebody for Jesus Christ? I mean, really impacted their life. How long has it been since your heart broke because you had a brother or a sister or a parent or a coworker that wasn't saved yet? Do you weep for them? Do you pray every day for your loved ones? We need to. Some of you may remember the last time I preached here, I encouraged all of you to put your church in the will. You remember that guy? I hope some of you have done it. Or to put missions in your will. Don't leave it all for your relatives to fight over. Send some treasure into heaven. I'll close with this story. My wife and I were spending a few days with some friends that had moved from Maryland. They were good friends of ours in our church there in Maryland for many years. They'd moved down to Fort Myers. We were there visiting them, staying a few days with them. They told me they were looking for some place to put some of their estate into an orphanage. They said, Pastor, do you know of any Christian orphanage or orphanages that we might pray about and put them in our will? Well, I had just gotten connected with Help Ministry, and I had been getting literature and getting educated about what we did, and I found out that we have 14 orphanages around the world. 14 orphanages, hundreds and hundreds of destitute children. So I said to Jim and Barbara, I just happen to know of some orphanages run by a great Christian organization. That was the last we talked about it. 2 weeks ago, Ron Cole, the director for Help Ministry from North Carolina, called me from the main office. He said, Brother Mormon. I said, yeah, Brother Ron, what's up? He said, we had a call here, nobody was at the office, and a lady by the name of Barbara Bryant left a message for us to call her because they needed some pertinent information about our corporation so they could put Help Ministry in their will, in their estate planning. He said, you know a Barbara Bryant? He said, I didn't know how she knew about us because it was a Maryland phone number and we don't have much going in Maryland. I didn't know anybody from Maryland. And so I said, Yeah, they're great friends of ours. He said, I was so delighted to find out that you had been their pastor and you had told them about HELP Ministry. I want to tell you something. When they go to heaven, there are going to be some kids going to be better cared for because they left some money to take care of some orphans. And I'm going to tell you, they're not just going to get fed and clothed, but they're going to be preached to. And they're going to learn about Jesus Christ. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them may be saved because of that one couple. So what are we doing? We're in the redemption business. It's not easy. Satan is busy in the lives of people. How do we do it? We get back to the place where we spend more time on our knees asking God for power from on high, for His anointing, for Him to fill us with the Holy Ghost so that when we go out there, we will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. The Good Samaritan, you remember him? He found a man on the road. He took him to an inn, and here's what he said to the innkeeper. Take care of this man. Spend whatever you have to on him. When I come back, I'll pay you what you've spent on him. And I'm going to tell you, that's what Jesus Christ, I believe, is saying to us. Look, here is the world. Go tell the world about Jesus Christ. Spend what you have to on it. And when I come back, I'll bring your reward with me. Some of you young people, some of you young families need to go to a mission field. We have enough preachers in America. Now, if God calls you to be a preacher, that's fine, but what we need are missionaries. There are fewer and fewer American missionaries going to the field. Go and give your life to rescue a village, a city that has no preacher. And for us old folks, we need to pray for the power of God to come down upon our lives, upon our churches, and we need to share some of the wealth that God has given to us with missionaries. We need to support those who go. Keep it simple, stupid. It's not that complicated. We have a mandate to go until he comes back. And when he does, you and I are going to be really happy we did what he wanted us to do. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, I know I've thanked you a zillion times for John Beecher, the co-worker at the Tampa Post Office that began to talk to me about you, began to ask if I was sure of heaven when I died, and Lord, you know I was not sure of that. I knew I was going the other way. I want to thank you, Lord, for a church over in Riverview that preaches the gospel, that I could sit there and hear about the love of God and your great plan to save a sinner like me. Dear God, I thank you for churches like this who have a heart for their city, for their neighbors, their families, their co-workers, and for the world. And Father, I don't know who in this building needs to go and be a missionary, but Father, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of these young men and young women as they pray about what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. Lord, if you tap them on the shoulder and say, I want you to go here, I want you to go there, I pray that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit and send them out, Lord. bring them back with their sheaves rejoicing. And for us older people, in the last chapter of our lives, Lord, help us to pray for missionaries. Help us to give faithfully. We're looking forward to you coming back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? As the piano plays, as we're letting song, would
just
you come?
Just how you young people. I am without
God speaks to your heart about being a missionary. That complicated. We're all sinners. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus.
Just as
but don't be fooled.
I am and wait.
You need to decide soon. Come today and trust Christ.
Let's bow our heads a moment as the music continues, the invitation's still open. Brother Mormon has reminded us it's not complicated. God wants us to simply get the good news out that Jesus saves. That's our job. We are in the redemption business. Simply passing on to others what happened to us. One of the end time signs that seems to be being fulfilled right in front of our eyes and maybe not recognized very often. Even though the devil uses the technology of the world against the message is getting out around the world. Somebody said in the mission conference Wednesday or Thursday night, maybe it was Brother Gall, I can't remember, but go into a hard place, maybe a place the world says is closed to the gospel, and maybe the place somebody wins the last soul, and Jesus says, that's it. That's our job. That's what we're doing today as we think about missions and emphasize missions, getting the gospel out. A simple message that still saves. I'm sure glad I understood it one day. Sure glad somebody made it simple enough that I could get it. That's what our job still is. Still is. That's what we do with our bus routes and local work, and schools and everything, but we're obligated to take it around the world. Could be God's laid on somebody's heart. We had a young man surrender to the mission field the other night. Could be God's spoken to somebody here. You say, well, maybe there's not time left. Well, maybe he's the one that'll go after the last one. Who knows? Who knows? I tell you what would be a shame, though. That's for churches like this, make all the effort we can, raise all the money we can to send the gospel around the world. And right here, on the next block, behind the building or across the street, you live in the shadow of the church and the gospel being heard, and yet you're lost. Never received Christ. If you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven. That would be a shame. How are you going to stand before God and say, well, I didn't have a chance. Oh yeah, you're having all kind of chances. Brother Mormon told about witnessing to a friend. Later on, that friend got saved and thanked him for it. Somebody witnessed to you, so you'd be here this morning, hear what you've heard, feel the Spirit of God saying, get saved, come to Jesus. Somebody else may have paved that foundation a long time ago for you. Now might be that opportunity, that very chance right now. So I'm going to ask Brother Burt to lead us in one more verse of this invitation song. We encourage you. Leave the seat. Come down the aisle and say, I do want to trust Jesus this morning. Will you do it? Get saved today. Simple as that. Will you come?
Just as I am.
Just as I am. That's the way he'll take you. Will you let him? Will you surrender to him? You know, I've said this before, and it may seem a little crude, but if I had to die and go to hell, I'd rather do so from some heathen jungle somewhere without ever having heard about Jesus than to die in America, where the gospel is so common and so preached. I believe the scripture tells us, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. If there's a hotter spot in hell, and I said if because I don't know, but if there is, it'll be for the one that heard and said no over and over and over. All right, I believe we do have something to share.